settlement coming anytime now. Going to let the three big companies off the line. This AmerisourceBergen, Cardinal Health, and McKesson, they could all be off the hook along with the manufacturers, Johnson & Johnson and this Teva. But you think about those three drug companies, 90% of the drugs in this country, three companies. So we'll see how this plays out. I don't think that's anywhere near enough. But we'll see, considering all the chaos that they have caused. Anyway, yesterday, the big Democratic debate in Central Ohio down there, Columbus, at Otterbein College, as we've been talking about. Here to share some thoughts on the event, I've asked State Representative Tavia Galonsky to come talk with us. She was in the auditorium there at Otterbein College. Tavia, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me. Absolutely.
So give me the sense. I mean, this is exciting times. I mean, you know, what was it like being right there front and center?
It was straight out exciting. You know, first of all, CNN does such a great job of setting the whole environment up for you. You know, so really they transformed that sports complex. It's no longer a gym. It was just straight out. You looked like you were in a studio, but huge. And so I was right on the floor, just seven rows back. And then we got to go up and pose for pictures there by the stage. And I'm telling you, it was just nothing but pageantry. And seeing all of your favorite reporters from CNN just milling around and being in the audience, they were all so friendly and happy. It was a happy time. I think people were basically very upbeat about hearing the exchange, and it definitely delivered for me.
So you got a kick out of meeting the enemies of the state, I guess, huh?
Well, I like to think of them as the fourth estate, the people that, you know, look out for the rest of us. You know, while stories are being made, it's the reporters and the media, if they dig in enough and do their job, I think that they're going to serve to answer a lot of questions that we have on the national stage and certainly on the state level, too. So yeah. I appreciate them. I'm glad they were there.
No, we most certainly need investigative journalism, and we need more investment in it, obviously. So let's get to the big event. Do we have a favorite before we start into this?
Well, I'll tell you right now that I would gladly have any one of the people that were on the stage versus President Trump. So I'm going to wait to see itself play itself out. I'll be as supportive as I can to anybody who asks me. And otherwise, I'm literally just letting it play itself out. But as far as, you know, who did well, wow, Elizabeth Warren was great. I always think Cory Booker is excellent. I thought Senator Harris did just fine, although she didn't get as much airtime as you would have expected. But, folks did really well. And I don't mind telling you that before the event even started, you know, the Democrats were referring to this as debate week. So you kind of like watch to see who really cared about Ohio and who got out amongst the crowd and sort of mingled. And that, hands down, is Klobuchar. So I think she came ready for that debate, and she clearly is very interested in courting Ohio because, I mean, she was just all over the place. She was at a Young Dems event. She, you know, was at our state party dinner. And so, to me, that's really what I noticed, is that she thinks that she can make a foothold in here in Ohio.
Now, it depends really on who has the best ground game in the state as well, who's building the best infrastructure. And being there on the ground, do you see someone doing a better job than others in being on the ground?
Well, you know, frankly, Bernie Sanders is not messing around. He has a great ground game. And basically, people have just been waiting for him to come back. So as far as the actual surrogates, people that I know, so they're completely spread out all over Ohio, I'd have to say Sanders is definitely not messing around as far as the ground game in Ohio. But then also, you know, I've been impressed with what Biden's been doing and the new interest now I see from Klobuchar as far as ground game. And, of course, Tom Steyer is not keeping his money to himself, so he's got commercials running. I'm sure those are nationwide.
Yeah.
So he's doing what he can, probably more at like 50,000 feet. But,
ground game
is Bernie.
Oh, how I wish he would take that money and invest in senatorial races across the country and help win the Senate back. Because, you know, between you, me, and the four walls, there's no way he's going to be the nominee, no matter how much money he's got, no matter how many votes he's going to buy. It's just not going to happen. And it was just one of those moments where, you know, they're talking about billionaires and, you know, being able to get whatever they want. And I'm going, here's a guy who bought his way onto the stage.
There you go. And so, you know, yes, I'm happy for the democratic process, but I agree with you. When I think about the sums of money, you know, really, we should have whittled this down, in my opinion. We should have whittled this down well before now.
Yep.
And some folks need to very seriously consider staying in the Senate or going to the Senate. And I just really wish they could see that investment needs to be made there. And I'm just starting to worry that people aren't really focusing.
Yeah, because honestly, this race is, in my view, it's boiling down to just, you know, Sanders and Warren on one side and Biden really there in the center. I just don't see anybody else coming in and jumping up into the middle of that.
I don't either. And yet, really, what I am beginning to look at, and again, completely agree with you as far as the three on top, now I'm actually looking at the remainder of the folks as far as vice presidential candidates. That's how I'm looking at them. So, you know, and because I've almost kind of written them off and wondering why they're still sort of there. But, you know, again, last night, they were all great. You know, they did a great job of saying what they wanted to say, putting out their issues, making themselves look like fighters. And, you know, Ohioans are going to be very impressed with that because,
right.
You know, we're a strong working class group here. Lots of people felt like they were the forgotten man or woman. And they like to see somebody out there fighting and mentioning issues that matter to Ohio, like the opiate crisis, like the, you know, the UAW workers. So, you know, I think people are going to be impressed by the show of moxie and spirit.
No, and since you brought that up, you know, the reality is, you know, 2016, I think those voters looked at Trump and said, Trump is that guy. I just don't think they saw Hillary as someone who was going to go to bat for them. You know, she was not great. Granted, she was saddled with a lot of her husband's baggage with NAFTA, saddled with, you know, President Obama's baggage over Corus, Colombia, and Panama, and also, you know, that the TPP, which she called the gold standard. So a lot of people were soured on trade agreements, and Trump, you know, kind of jumped onto that space.
You're exactly right, and the thing that, you know, that I'm not proud of as far as Ohio is, we went from 5th to 22nd in the nation as far as education. And so believing in some of these short sound bites that Trump delivered, he really did speak directly to people who felt like, you know, the Democratic Party was moving toward elitism. They had forgotten about him, kind of written them off as for granted, right? Taking them for granted. And so I believe he was able to deliver, you know, an excellent message talking directly to those folks that I believe Secretary Clinton couldn't speak to. And so, you know, and we can sort of opine about whether or not some people, you know, had some other motives, whether it was misogyny or racism. But I think underneath it all in Ohioans, people were just probably thinking, just like Mr. Trump said, what have you got to lose?
No.
You know, why not go for this guy? You know, maybe things will be better in your life. And there's that nostalgia. I want to go back to the way things were when I was able to make a good living, two cars, mom could stay at home or work a part-time job, and the family was still together. So, you know, you really can't be mad at people for taking a chance on that.
Yeah,
but
I can't. I still can be. I still can be.
You're still mad about
because
it.
Because that's one of those things where you go, you know, how do you trust a guy who's clearly got a past of screwing people over and being, you know, just the ultimate con man? And how do you put that guy into the position of power? Maybe it's just I spent way too many years listening to him on Howard Stern and listening to some of the creepy things he said over the years. But, you know,
absolutely,
it is what it was. And here we are. We're in this weird moment because, you know, I look at someone like you who comes from a very working class area, you know, Barberton, Ohio, outside of Akron, and, you know, the rubber capital of the world at one point, a major manufacturing area. That has been hit hard by deindustrialization and globalization. And, you know, solidly a working class Democratic kind of area that went for Trump. And then, you know, the next election around went for you.
Right. I won every precinct in Barberton. So when I'm visiting, when I'm getting to know the folks, when I'm engaging, you know, what I notice is they want to get to know you. It's hard to get into the group. But once they get to know you and you're theirs and they can see that you're working hard for them by delivering practical deliverables from the state, then that's it. They love you. And they count you as their own. They felt like they got that attention from Trump. you know, even though, again, it's not like he was actually visiting Barberton that I'm aware of, but still, they felt like he was closer and speaking more directly to them than Secretary Clinton.
Right.
And so when I'm going around, when I'm shaking hands, when I'm introducing myself, when I'm reminding them that I'm a former Teamster and my dad was UAW, my mother was an educator, she was in the union. So I come from a union family, the daughter of labor. They love that because they can relate to that. They know that the most important thing for me when I'm in Columbus is making sure that they keep their job. And anything where somebody's shutting something down again without an alternative, I fight against that for them, and they know that. And so, and you know, I never shut my door to them. If they want to talk to me, if they want to reach me, I've got my cell phone on my business card, and I'm going to put myself out there. So I never stand apart from them. I always just stand with them, and I think that they've really responded well to that. And it's a privilege to represent the 35th.
Yeah, you know, now on the trade issue, because, you know, it's one of the things that I've been saying that I think Democrats have been really bad on over the years. Did you hear anything while you were at the debate that made you go, you know, Democrats may be on the right side? Because, look, you know, full disclosure, I agree with Trump using tariffs. I just think he's boogered it up really badly. I agree that at some point we have to do something about China. We have to do something about the massive job losses that are going on. And while Andrew Yang was talking about automation and all that, which is costing some jobs, the bigger driver of job losses is outsourcing still. And how do we deal with that as a country to ensure that we protect the jobs we have here?
I agree completely, and you're right about trade, and I don't mind saying that I think the Democrats and the Republicans, or Trump, I should say, not the Republicans, but I think we have messed it up. Go all the way back to NAFTA. You know, Tom Sawyer represented this area, and they'll never forget that, you know, he voted for NAFTA, and people felt like it sure was a sucking sound. Look at all their jobs.
Yep.
So people here still remember all of that, and they're still really bitter about it. And so as they look out into the horizon to try to figure out why are these bad things happening to me, it is easy to see that, you know, they do feel sold out. They feel like their wages, you know, haven't increased. They feel like they don't have any, you know, job security, no job guarantee. All that's gone. And so, you know, they are able to say that they do believe the trade policies have made a difference. We've got some farmers in Ohio that are hurting right now. And I think that some of what the president tried to do, again, maybe long-term might be a good idea, but people can't actually feed their families on these long-term sort of ideas. They can't continue to hurt cycle after cycle like that and, you know, sort of still stand for him. So I think there are very serious concerns that because Mr. Trump has been erratic, I should say, and very sort of impulsive, then I think people are losing confidence that he's a great businessman and he can fix it. Now, I never believed that myself anyway. I never believed in him as a great businessman because I would listen to what was happening nationally and watching him, you know, go around from country to country as far as disclosing his interests. And the final thing for me was a person who won't show you your tax returns, show you their tax returns and wants to represent you, you should always be suspicious of that because what are your motivations? Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you really doing it for me? Or are you doing it for some other interest? That should have been a red flag to people.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And look, at the end of the day, you know, the rumors of you know, him, one, being not as rich as he said he was. Two, we find out today, ProPublica has got a piece out saying that, you know, he inflated the value of his property when he was looking for loans, and he deflated the property when he was ready to pay taxes. But again, this is stuff that all the wealthy try and get away with. And we've allowed him to do it. It's just one of those things. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Ohio State Representative Tavia Galonsky. She represents Ohio's 35th district. She was at the big event last night, the Democratic debate in Westerville, Ohio, at Otterbein College. So let me ask you, was there anything that you go, you know, because my response to last night's debate was, you know, this is kind of all stuff we've heard before. They're all kind of the same sound bites. You can only get so much in 75 seconds. I want more substantive debates because, you know, what I wanted early on is I thought the best path would have been kind of like a March Madness scenario where you had, you know, like 45 minute debate offs and you'd have, you could have brackets and you could bet on the brackets. It'd have been, I think it'd have been a great idea. But, you know, these little 2 minute, 75 second little snippets, you really can't get the breadth of someone's policy ideas in that bit of time. But was there anything last night that made you go, oh, I haven't heard that before?
Not one single thing, to be honest, because, you know, I like the way that the, and I mean, you expect them to do this, do their homework on Ohio. So I like the way the different candidates would make these issues important to Ohioans. I appreciated that they had done their homework. But I guess maybe I've been so engaged in it that I didn't hear anything surprising at all. All of it seemed kind of the same to me. And I agree with you. The format lended itself to who could come out with a sound bite or something that would play the next day. And so that's not really substantive. And I agree with you that we would have been in a much better circumstance if we had more like a debate off. This wasn't a debate. This was a candidate showcasing, if you will.
Yeah.
And so, you know, without other information and digging deeper, you know, when they kept talking about it being debate week, I was hoping that the candidates would come and have sort of one-on-one sessions, you know, with a group of legislators here or there, and that we would be able to dig more into it. But they didn't really take advantage of that. I know that my different caucuses and organizations did reach out to them and offered them that opportunity, but maybe they felt like they had to do debate prep and they couldn't come and speak with us. But I think there would have been a lot of value in that, because we're the ones in our different areas of Ohio that really know. I mean, I do believe that, you know, as Ohio goes, so goes the rest of the nation. And so putting the actual candidates down in our areas and speaking to us, they could have traveled out more, you know, just to get to know what Ohio's like, because I think we do show something about the pulse of what's going on in the U.S. And it's not skewed towards, you know, rich people, but we do have some, you know, some people who live in Ohio who are wealthy. But we also have the other folks. One in four kids, you know, is food insecure. And so things like that, I think getting around Ohio and really visiting, I think would have been a benefit to them. And they didn't really do that, so we had to go back to the way that this debate, if you will, was set up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, having grown up in Cleveland, which is now the second poorest city that has the second highest poverty rate of anywhere in the country, you'd think, you know, though that would be something that would have come up a little bit more, other than just being with Cory Booker. And I just thought it was interesting. And look, good on him for highlighting the issue.
Sure, and you know, let me just go back and amend my statement that I didn't see anything that surprised me. I look out for different groups that care about women's reproductive rights. So it did actually surprise me that Senator Harris spoke directly to that, because I had seen a note before from different women's groups to say that not one candidate had talked about that issue at all. And so, you know, good on her for bringing it up, and then for the moderator to mention that that was an important issue and that, you know, it would be discussed further. So kind of got lost in the weeds a little bit, but you're right. I did at least hear that, and I was surprised but happy that somebody did.
Now, I guess my response on the abortion issue, is there one Democrat on the stage who is against keeping Roe versus Wade? I mean, is there anyone? I mean, because to me, it seems like one of those issues you probably wouldn't even bring up, because everyone universally is on the same page.
Well, but see, I think what they would have been getting to had there been a more detailed discussion was actually that by making cuts, you know, to Medicaid, whether it's statewide, or certainly to our seniors, what you do is that impacts women and their overall health, you know, disproportionately, because if we can't count on, you know, everybody doesn't go to Planned Parenthood for an abortion. In fact, a lot of women go there for health care, but the way that all of that issue has been skewed has really left poor women in particular marginalized right out of all kinds of options, whether it's birth control all the way to screenings for health care. And that is really the issue that needs to get discussed, that people have made this around, you know, forced birth, but it's really more like your entire health care is in jeopardy if you don't have centers that are focused on women available. And that's the tragedy to me.
Yeah, and to highlight that, you know, one of the statistics I had read is like only 3% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortive care. So, I mean, there's 97% of everything else that you had just talked about.
Right. And as women, you know, 51% of Ohio, we know that. We actually know what Planned Parenthood does. We actually know, you know, that it's not easy to get our screenings, you know, based on, you know, whether you're staying at home taking care of people. But when are you going to take the time off to get the necessary health screenings? Well, you know, part of the way to do that is to have different health centers that focus on women's care. It is different from men. We care for ourselves, but usually we typically care for everybody else before we care for ourselves. So to highlight this kind of preventative care, we had the benefit of Planned Parenthood and other women's health clinics, and now with those closing, it shows you that women are not a priority. And so, you know, in my opinion, the candidates have to be speaking about this issue and making it front and center.
And I think they did a little bit of that. But, you know, again, we're going to have another debate and another, and I'm hoping the field whittles down either naturally through people not donating anymore or not getting into the polls. I'm hoping they narrow the field quickly so we can get down to a candidate and move forward. But Representative Galanski, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Take care.
Good stuff. Love to have you back again real soon. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Who's the big winner? I still say Sanders won because he showed really well. Came back from the heart attack, showed really well. Obviously, everyone's saying Elizabeth Warren, but you know, we'll see. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Radio of, for, and by We the Working People. The Rick Smith Show.